but you had to care. The traffic is stuck and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful. Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. I'm Neil De Silva. This is show number 86 if you are listening on catch up, and it's the 3rd of February 2020. I hope you're all keeping really well and you've had a great weekend. On today's show, in a moment, we are going to be talking about eye health and the importance of eye health and how you can keep your sight healthy. We're also, towards the end of the show, we'll be talking about vitamin B12 and specifically vitamin B12 deficiency. And in the middle, we have a guest interview today. We have Jenny Jones. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
And Jenny is the confident queen. So, I'm looking forward to finding out more about what Jenny does. And I think this is going to be one of the more memorable shows that I've done in recent times. So, yeah, really looking forward to finding out more about Jenny's background, what she does at the minute, and how she might be able to help you. So before we kick the show off proper, just a quick disclaimer. The purpose of the Health Matters radio show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters that we cover and to help educate and inform you in ways that you could improve your own health. But this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice, and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health, or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist first. All the content in the show is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and often my opinion. And as such, I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. So a quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show. And you'll be able to listen again to this show and all previous 85 shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Or if you prefer, you can go to iTunes Podcast, type in the Health Matters Radio Show in the search bar, and you can catch all the previous shows there too. Okay, so on to the topic of eye health. Now, sight is one of those things that we take for granted. Often with our health, we take our health for granted until we haven't got it anymore or it declines. And actually, eyesight is a really important thing to actually take into consideration. And it is one of our most important senses. So around 80% of what we perceive comes through our sense of sight. And it's one of those things that you kind of don't miss it until it's gone. You know, if you've got eyesight issues, if maybe you've got cataracts or you've got other eye health-related issues, then you start to appreciate good eyesight then when you haven't got it anymore. And the reason that we should protect our eyes is it does reduce the risk of blindness, particularly as we get older, and also vision loss. So not blindness, but maybe a decline in our visual capability. And there are a number of eye diseases that affect us. Now, I'm not going to go through them all because the list is quite long, but I will mention some of the more common ones, and I'm sure that you will recognise some of them. Astigmatism is quite a common one. Now, when we look at things, anything that we look at has to be uniformly in focus at the back of the eye. And astigmatism occurs when part of that image is always out of focus, which causes the blurred vision. Cataracts is another one. Just mentioned cataracts earlier. Now, cataracts are very, very common. And in fact, in England and Wales, it's estimated that between 2.5 and 3 million people over 65 have some degree of vision impairment caused by cataracts. Now, cataracts are a blurriness or a misting of the lens. So it causes the cloudy vision, which can make it can make seeing in dim light or very bright light quite difficult. It gives you the slight foggy effect to your vision. Another condition is diabetic retinopathy. Now, if you've got diabetes, you will be aware of this. Now, retinopathy can cause significant damage to the eye, and it can lead to eyesight loss. And in fact, type 2 diabetes is one of the most prevalent causes of eyesight loss in this country, which is why if you have type 2 diabetes, you should have regular eyesight checks. Glaucoma is another condition. Now, the glaucoma is a group of eye diseases that affect the optic nerve, and it's the optic nerve that connects the eye to the brain. Generally speaking, it affects both eyes, and the really scary thing is, in most cases, you won't have any symptoms that it's developing until it becomes really serious. And this is another reason for having regular eyesight tests. Even if your eyesight is okay at the moment, even if you are, I don't know, 20 years old and your eyesight you think is perfect, having regular eyesight tests on a you know, perhaps a biannual basis, every couple of years, then obviously that is actually quite important, because it will pick up things like glaucoma. Another condition is macular degeneration as well. Now, I covered macular degeneration on a previous show. If you want to go back and listen to it, it was show number 70. On the 19th of August 2019. Now, macular degeneration, or specifically age-related macular degeneration, accounts for around 50% of those who are registered as being sight-impaired in the UK. So there are two types of macular degeneration. One is dry and the other one is wet. But like I say, if you want to find out more about that, please listen to show number 70. And this takes us on to eye examinations. Now, lots of people with good eyesight won't have their eyes tested on a regular basis until they have a problem. So why should you have regular eye examinations at least once every couple of years? Well, the eyes are kind of the windows to the body. And interestingly, they are the only place where your blood vessels can be viewed in their natural state without surgical procedure. So when you have your eye test done, they will get you to look at letters, they will get you to look at a board, they will put lenses in front of your eye to actually give you better vision, but they'll also do a back of the eye test. And some people don't understand the reason that they do that. But that visual inspection of the blood supply in your body can help to spot many health conditions that maybe are developing in your body, but you're actually not aware of because you don't have symptoms. So some of the things that the back of the eye test can pick up are conditions like high cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes, liver disease, and also brain tumours. So having the eye test done is not about just giving you clearer vision or confirming that you do or don't need glasses. It's actually a bit of a health check at the same time. So how can we maintain our eye health? Eye health is obviously, as we said, really, really important. And our lifestyle and our diet and our habits will actually affect our eyesight for better or for worse. So the first way to improve or maintain good eye health is to quit smoking. If you're a smoker, there's lots of health issues surrounding smoking, as we know, and they're very well publicised. But when it comes to your eyesight, if you are a smoker, you're more likely to develop cataracts. You're more likely to develop macular degeneration. You're more likely to damage your optic nerve if you continue smoking. So if you need a good reason to smoke, well, protecting your eyesight is certainly one of them. When you're out and about, particularly in daylight times, then please wear sunglasses, and specifically sunglasses that protect your eye from UV rays, so ultraviolet radiation. Now, if you do that, you will reduce the risk of things like cataracts and macular degeneration, because particularly cataracts develop because you have too much ultraviolet light exposure. So when you're choosing sunglasses, try and pick a pair that are at least 99%, or they block at least 99% of UVA and UVB rays. And if you get wraparound ones, they also protect your eyes from the light that comes in from the side as well. If you're a regular computer user, then looking away from the screen on a regular basis is a really good way to protect your eyesight, because staring at a computer, or indeed, you know, a phone or maybe a tablet, can give you significant eye strain. It can lead to the degeneration of your eyesight generally. It can also give you problems focusing at a distance because you're constantly looking at something close up. It can also give you headaches as well. So if you use a computer screen on a regular basis, or a tablet or a phone, then give your eyes a break on a regular basis. We've covered eye tests already, but put a visit to your optician down in your diary. And when you have it done and they say that's booking you in for a couple of years, even if your eyesight is okay, make sure you go back. As I said, going to your optician is not just about helping you to see clearly. It's about picking up potential eyesight or other health issues that you might not be aware of. And then we come on to eating. Now, a lot of eyesight problems develop because of bad nutrition. So good eye health starts with the food that we eat and the drinks that we drink. So things like omega-3 fatty acids, lutein, zinc, vitamins, particularly vitamin C and E, can help maintain good eye health. And particularly as we get older, it can help ward off things like macular degeneration and cataracts. So foods that are particularly good for our eyesight include things like green leafy vegetables, so particularly spinach, kale and collards, fish, oily fish in particular, like salmon and tuna. In terms of non-meat protein sources, things like eggs, nuts and beans, so legumes, are particularly good. Oranges are particularly good for eyesight as well, obviously because they have vitamin C in them. And actually oysters and pork are high in nutrients that are good for eyesight. And actually, if you maintain a healthy diet with the view to protecting your eyesight, then also you then lower the risk of things like obesity. And obesity can also lead on to type 2 diabetes. And type 2 diabetes, as I mentioned, is the leading cause of blindness in adults in this country. So it has a knock-on effect. If you eat properly and eat well and don't eat too much, then not only do you protect your eyesight in the short term, but longer term, it can also prevent the risk of other health diseases as well. Some nutrients that are really important in your diet to protect your eyesight and reduce the risk of developing eye conditions include things like vitamin A, vitamin B6, B9, which is folate, and B12, which we will cover towards the end of the show, vitamin C, vitamin E, riboflavin, niacin, lutein, and zeaxanthin. We'll cover some of these actually on a future show, because it's important that you understand where these nutrients are found in your diet and why they're important, not just to your general health, but specifically to your eyesight health as well. As I mentioned, omega-3 fatty acids, which generally speaking we get from oily fish, and thiamine. Those are all really, really good nutrients for good eye health. Now, if you have a balanced diet and a healthy diet, you will probably get most of those through the food that you eat. But in some cases, you may need to supplement. If you need to supplement, then obviously speak to a healthcare professional first, and they will be able to guide you in the right direction. So there you go, eye health. It's a subject I've not covered before, but it's actually a really, really important one. Like I say, you don't miss it until it's gone. And if you are at risk of some eyesight issues, you know, macular degeneration or cataracts, then there are steps that you can take now to reduce the risk of them developing as you get older. So after the break, we are going to go on to our guest interview with Jenny. But to take us there, we have a great song by UB40.
Every day I'm learning more. The more I learn, the less I know about before. The less I know, the more I want to look around. Digging deep for clues on high ground. The moon and the stars sit well high. Fragrant lullaby to cool the night for you and I. On the wing, the birds fly free, the violets and tames and the sea. flower waits for honeybee. The sunrise waits for life in me. Every hour, every day I'm learning more. The more I learn, the less I know. Intoxicated, drinking from the loving cup of burning sun. In dreams I'll pray for baby taste, whispered rain on weary face. Kisses sweet and warm embrace, another time, another place. Every hour, every day I'm learning more. The more I learn, the less I know.
You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show and you can follow and like the show's Facebook page. And you'll be able to listen again to this show and all previous shows on my iTunes podcast. So go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast and you'll get all the updates as they come through. And you just need to type in the Health Matters Radio Show in the search bar. And also on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, you can listen to all the previous shows there as well. Okie dokie, so on to our guest interview of today. Today we have Jenny Jones, and Jenny is the confident queen. Now, it's a shame we haven't got webcams live today in the studio because, well, all I can say is when I do the post-promotion, you just need to look at the pictures, okay? And that kind of says it all. I've not often had people come in and give me huge pairs of novelty glasses to wear, as you'll see from the photo. And I don't get many guests wear a hat with a fruit bowl on top. So it kind of gives you the tone of where this interview is going to go, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun interview. So good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
It is really fabulous to have you on the show this morning.
Thank you.
And like I say, I just wish we had webcams going because it would, yeah, if people could see what I could see. anyway, let's crack on with the interview. So it is really good to have you on the show, and I'm really looking forward to this. So let's really start at the beginning. Mm. Before we talk about what you do and how you help people now, perhaps give listeners a bit of background as to what led you to actually doing what you do now.
Mm. Well, I suppose from the beginning, I'm originally from Sierra Leone in West Africa. Mm-hmm. And I came to the UK actually when I was 15 to join my parents and to continue my education.
Okay.
So that was quite good. And I grew up in Tottenham. So, you know, I support Tottenham as well, play football and
well,
all that.
I won't
there
hold
you go, don't
I,
say anything.
I won't hold that against you. Someone has to.
Yes, I grew up in Tottenham, went to school actually in Highgate, I believe. Okay. So there you go, yeah. Yeah. And yes, I had quite a good time. And then I went to college as usual. I was one of those people who was really lousy at maths. I even got unclassified.
Really?
But when I went to college, wow, one of my tutors said to me, oh, you're quite good. Why don't you train to be an accountant? And I thought, oh, money. So I then trained to be an accountant and stayed in Tottenham for a while. But then later on, got married, moved to South London, Peckham. Woohoo!
Yeah, so, it's an area that I know very well.
So that was quite good. Stay there for a while. Mm-hmm. And then we thought, okay, why not move somewhere else? And there we are in sunny Gravesend, Kent. So we moved to Gravesend for 18 years now.
Yep.
And things have been, yeah, it's been fairly good. I love Gravesend. I love Kent, actually. And it's very interesting because in Sierra Leone, there is an area called Kent as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a place called Hastings.
Oh, really?
And Sussex, yeah.
Oh,
there's quite a good connection with Kent, so yeah.
And
so,
how was life in Peckham?
Life in Peckham was really interesting because, you know, when you are based in North London, mm-hmm, I used to think, I'll never go to South London. I hated South London people. I just didn't want to go there. Mm. So when I found myself in Peckham, it was like, oh my gosh. But it was good. We had some really good memories. But when we were bringing up kids, I thought, you know what? It's better to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up sort of Bermondsey, Deptford Way, in my very younger years, and I remember Peckham, and it's better now, but it was rough in the sort of the late 70s, and I can understand your wanting to move away, you know, for the sake of your children. That does make sense.
Yeah, that was mostly for, and then we ended up in sunny Gravesend.
Yeah,
Northfleet, to be particular. Yes.
So you trained as an accountant.
Yes.
Okay. And apart from the obvious, doing accountancy, how did you help the business owners who were coming to you for help?
I think doing accountancy, I mean, I must say I started my work, actually. I was working for our friend, the tax office. A lot of people don't like the hidden revenue. But I worked for them, and I suppose it was really an interesting job because it sort of got you to know about tax and accountancy and how you can help people save their tax. So it was interesting. Mm-hmm. But behind my back, I've always had, like, my creativeness in me. So even though I was doing accountancy, when I was younger, I used to be in a dance group. So I was more of a creative person.
Okay.
But again, because of my background, the African background, they want you to do something like be an accountant, be a lawyer.
Mm.
But deep down, I wanted to be a dancer, do music, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I used to do that part-time as well as doing the accountancy, the best of both worlds.
So they saw the kind of the dancing as a hobby.
Yes.
And the accountancy
as a respectable
career.
Yes, yes.
Ah,
yes.
Okay,
yes.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Mm. So you spent, what, 25 years doing accountancy?
Yeah, about 25 years, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so how did that transition take place where you went from being an accountant? And to be honest with you, you know, we've been wearing funny glasses and you've got a hat with fruit on top. So I can't imagine you as an accountant, but maybe that's quite a nice angle, actually.
Yes.
Because I think most accountants, with respect to all accountants listening and all my friends are accountants, it's quite a, quite a, how can I put it, quite a staid profession. you know, quite a serious profession.
Yes,
you know, and you're wearing a multicolored top, and I just can't imagine you as an accountant. But
yeah, I mean, the way you can look at accountancy, I say to myself, in accountancy, there's always what they call the debits and credits.
Mm-hmm.
So I say in life, there's a good side, there's a bad side.
Absolutely.
So there you go. So yeah. I've got the side where I work hard and I'm serious, and I've got the other side where I let it go, wear my fruit hat and walk down the street.
Yes, well, a mutual friend of ours called Victoria Sheridan, and Victoria's been on the show a couple of times in the past, but when I did the pre-promotion for the show, Victoria did make a comment that it would be an interesting interview, so I was kind of pre-warned by her that, yeah, this could be good. So, okay, so you did accountancy for 25 years, and as I understand it, you still do accountancy?
Yeah, so now I actually do it 2 days a week. I actually teach people, so I don't do it anymore. I actually focus on training people, teaching them how to do it themselves.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
So that transition between being an accountant and becoming the confident queen, this confidence builder, this happiness spreader, how did that happen?
Well, I think, like what you've said, when you see me now, you think, oh, Jenny, she's bright and bubbly. But actually, in 2003, I went through a rough time in my life. So a lot happened, and it ended up me getting a divorce. Now, when I got divorced, quite a few things happened. At the same time, I was working for a company. I got made redundant. I had my two toddlers to look after. And sooner, my house was due to be repossessed, and I had a lot of debt. So it was like my whole world came crashing down. And, you know, to the outside world, I would appear to be the happy and bubbly person. But when I went home, I was depressed and I was down, and I just wanted the kids to go to bed.
Yeah.
Because when they went to bed, I would sit down and I'd be crying, because I just thought, this is not how it's meant to be when you get married. But I think as time goes on, I think I was watching a program on television one day, and then I saw how people rebuilt their life.
Mm.
So I think on that day I decided, you know what, I need to do something about myself. So I started reading books and magazines, and I then decided to learn about being a life coach. So I thought, well, what's that all about? So I learned to be a life coach, got a lot of help from people like the Samaritans, from mine. I was just soaking in any help I could get.
Mm-hmm.
But for 5 years, it was as if I was in a deep hole and there was no light at the end of the tunnel. But after 5 years, when I got all this help, I then regained my confidence and self-esteem. And I felt, you know what? I came through this because I am able to help somebody else. Because there are a lot of people who go through what I've gone through. They'll end up drink, drugs, etc.
Mm.
But I went through it all, came out stronger. And then I decided, what could I do to help other people? So I started, first of all, you know, just helping fellow single parents by them coming to my house and doing stuff. Then I realized my kids needed help as well.
Yeah.
So I started a holiday club, and the whole idea was to help children who are going through various challenges to say during the school holidays, they can come, have some fun and be children. And while I was doing that, it was all about teaching them confidence. And I think one of them said to me, oh, you're like a queen. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then I can't even remember how we decided the confidence queen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided, well, I need to have some kind of an outfit as a queen. I went to a local supermarket, and that's where the glasses came. I saw the big glass, and I was like, I'll get that. And then it was various things. Then I went to the local pound shop, saw a cowboy hat. I was like, that could do. And then I just started getting bits and pieces to make this outfit, because I thought, it would be nice to have a persona.
Yeah.
So it's like when you're going through challenges, it's like you're yourself on one side. On the other side, I dress up with my fruit hat and glasses, and I'm somebody else.
It is a bit like being on stage, isn't it? It's a bit like being an actor.
Yes.
Where you take on that role of that person.
Yes, and it was very interesting. When I took up that role, somebody then saw me and said to me, why don't you go on Britain's Got Talent? I was like, really?
Okay.
So then what happened? I then applied to go on Britain's Got Talent.
Okay.
In 2012.
Right.
And I wasn't too sure what I was going to do. So there was about 60,000 people who applied.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the first audition and then I got through. Then he said to me, Jenny, I bet you £50. What's going to happen? I said, okay, £50, I'll do the next thing. Then I was called for the live shows, which was in Cardiff.
Right.
So there was I, the confident queen, ready to go on stage, but I was shaking because Simon Cowell was giving me a kind of a look, thinking, who does she think she is with the big glasses? And I was okay. So shaking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anton Deck had to say, go on, you're the confident queen. They gave me water. They really had to push me on. So I went on the stage and with the big glasses on. Now, I know you can't see the big glasses, but you'll see it later on.
Right. I'm gonna have to take a picture of this.
With the big glasses on. And then he said, what are you going to do? So I said to him, okay, I'm going to sing a song. So I made up this song. So I was going, confident queen, that's who I am. Feel confident, feel confident. Every day just feel confident. Jump, jump and feel confident. And he went, okay, have you got another song? So then I thought, what could I sing? One of the judges had a baby, so I was going, congratulations.
Was that
and jubilation?
Was it
Amanda Holder?
Oh, Amanda,
yes.
Okay.
So I did the second song, and he said, have you got anything else? I was like, this is a bit much.
Ouch.
Then I could remember a song as a child. I was going, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, clap, clap. And you know what happened? Simon started clapping. The whole audience started clapping. And then towards the end now, they had to vote. Now, all the other judges said yes, but Simon was giving me that look like, and before he could say anything else, the Welsh people are lovely. They kept going, Jenny, Jenny, Jenny. And then Simon says, I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm going to say yes. And the audience went, yeah.
Wow.
It's been one of the most memorable experiences.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that. You didn't tell me about that, did you? Okay. And so then what happened after that?
So I made it to the live show. So I made it to the last 140.
Right.
And it was shown on television.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you do Britain's Confident Queen on Britain's
Got
Talent.
You know what? I've watched BGT for a long time with my wife. And I do kind of remember you now. I just kind of remember the glasses.
Yeah. One of the things they said, though, which was really nice, they said, Jenny was so bad, she was good.
Yeah.
I was like, I own that statement. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah, so that was a good thing. I mean, the reason for going on the show, apart from the £50, it was just basically to say to people, no matter what you're going through, if you believe you've got some kind of a talent, just go out there and show people and spread some love. That's what it was about.
And also, I'd say that it was probably outside of your comfort zone. I mean, for most people, getting up on stage, you know, in front of the judges and the audience and being televised as well is massively outside people's comfort zones. But growth is where, you know, being outside your comfort zone is where growth happens.
Yes.
If we stay within our comfort zones all the time, we never grow. And it was an experience I'm sure most people would be fearful of doing, and you conquered that fear.
Yes.
And it grew you as a person because of that experience. And I applaud you for it.
Thank you.
I am going to look it up when I get back. Fascinating. Right, okay, so back on track. Okay, so you became that persona, the confident queen.
Yeah.
You're offering these confidence building, happiness spreading services. Specifically, who do you work with and how do you feel that those services help people?
Specifically, I work, for example, with children, primary school age children up to the age of 11 years old. With the children, it's really just helping them to boost their confidence. So I get them to create something called the Gift of Confidence Box. And it's got various items, for example, a mirror that a child can look at every day. And they have to affirm by saying, I'm unique, I'm special. Mm-hmm. There's no one like me.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young boy called Joe who comes to the holiday club. He said, Jenny, you know, the other day I was going diving and I wanted to dive. I was up the board. It was so high. I really got scared. He said, but for a few seconds, I remember what you said. He said, I closed my eyes and then I started singing, feel confident every day, just wow. feel confident.
Yeah.
And he said, after a while, he sang it. He opened his eyes and he just took a dive. And for me, it's really good. Or you might have a child who is not really good at maths, for example. So you give them that confidence to love maths and then they start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a person. It tends to be ladies, for example, over 45. They might have gone through different challenges in their life and they feel, you know what, I'm getting older. I've got so much to do, but I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to start. I've lost my mojo. So the whole idea is to run some confidence session on some happiness session so that the first thing you need to do is to get the mindset that every day I'm going to wake up happy. So I get them to sing, wake up and feel happy. Boom, boom. I feel like dancing around. Boom, boom. See, Neil is laughing because he's going to sing that song every day.
You're going to get him, you're going to get inside my head, aren't
boom,
you?
Boom, boom. Yeah, but it's just little courses. So the courses are really for happiness and confidence and are adapted for children and are adapted for adults as well. But the key is giving you a toolbox. Now, when I'm not there, you can look at your toolbox and say, can I put on my glasses? Can I sing my song? Can I do some affirmations?
And it's interesting. I can see how particularly women, perhaps in their 40s and 50s, might find themselves losing their mojo. Perhaps they've had children. Children are grown up now. So their role as a mother or being an active mother has changed.
Yes.
And they can feel that perhaps that loss of identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt it when my kids left home.
Mm.
As a father, I kind of felt redundant almost as an active, you know, parent. Mm. So I can see how it can affect women as well, particularly as a mother.
Yeah. And as you say as well, lately I've discovered as well it affects men because I've got 7 brothers and most of them are in their 40s and they're going through that situation as well for some of them where the kids have gone and they think, well, what do we do now?
Emptiness syndrome.
Emptiness.
It really affected me.
Me too.
It was really, really hard.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit more about these well-being sessions. How do they work with people? Do you do it on with small groups or is it larger groups?
Well, with the well-being sessions, sometimes it can be small groups. It's normally good if it's like a minimum of 5 people.
Okay.
It can either be at your home or sometimes I do it at a community venue. Or if you've got a community group that you run, I do the well-being sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And the well-being session is all about laughter, and I do laughter yoga as well because I'm a laughter yoga teacher, and breathing, and also using crafts and creativeness to bring that confidence and happiness with you. And it covers meditation and mindfulness as well. So it's everything really that you could also do at home yourself. It's like I've got this thing, simple thing, which is called the 1 minute silence. So for example, if you're going through stress, I would say to you, this 1 minute smiling, saying that, take a minute after your busy schedule, you breathe in positivity, you breathe out negativity, then it's like smiling to the right, smiling to the left, you spend a few seconds thinking about happy thoughts, and after that, you just go, woohoo, boom, boom.
And actually, on a serious note, I can see how that would work.
Yeah,
it just resets the brain, doesn't it, into a more positive place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you give us some sort of case studies, some successes you've had with clients? Obviously, we can't mention people by name, but you know, could you tell us about some of the things that you've done and that's really helped people?
Yes, I mean, one of the ladies I remember a few years back. Her sister said to me, oh, can you go and see her in the house? I said, okay, I'll go and see her in her house. And I was like, but why doesn't she come to the group? Because she hadn't been out of the house for quite a while. She was just scared. Mm-hmm. So I took her to the group and she came for the first time and she started coming because people rang her. And then one day I was in the high street. She was walking down on her own. I was like, why are you here on your own? She goes, you know what? I've got the confidence now. I feel better.
Yeah.
So for that lady who never used to go out, She started coming out and came to the club on her own. And it was, you know, I felt so refreshed. We've got another lady who is 83 years old. She's quite lonely and most of her family are out of Gravesend. So she was at the cafe that we run the happiness sessions. So she came in and she joined in. And do you know, every single month she comes in and she goes to me, this is my family. When I come here, I can laugh, have a cup of tea. And every time you see her, she hugs me and I feel these are the kind of people who are lonely. Mm. They need to go somewhere where there are people. Or you might have somebody recently, she's had her children and she's at home. The husband goes to work. And she said to me, I used to be an accountant, but now I'm at home. I'm looking after my kids, but I want something to do. She felt she had to go to work.
Yeah.
I said to her, you need to develop your confidence to be a virtual accountant. You don't need to leave your house because I had kids, but I was working from home.
Mm.
So I'm working with her now to give her the confidence to set up her own business online so she can not only make some money, but she can also be there for the children.
Yeah.
Or I've got another lady as well locally. She's a miserable person. Her husband said to me, she goes, oh, she's such a misery gut. But she came to the session and now he said to me, oh my God, stop her singing that song. She wakes up every morning and she's going, wake up and feel happy. Boom, boom. But you know, for me, it's the simple, practical things. They sing a song.
Mm.
They look at their gift of confidence or gift of happiness box. They dress up. They do very, very simple things and it makes them feel happy. Like you said, just a minute to do something to take your brain off, your mind off whatever is going on. Yeah.
It's very, very powerful. So where do you see the coming year taking you? What are your plans for this year?
I'm so excited about the coming year, really. For me, it's all about collaboration. What I want to do is to go to more schools, do free assembly and do more sessions with the kids, go to any project who is looking, you know, carers, any project that would want me to come in and do like a 15-minute taster sessions. And also, you know, I'm looking for happiness spreaders as well. We need more people like me who are volunteers to say, you know what, one Saturday month, let's go to the high street and do some stuff just to make people feel happy.
Yeah.
So it's all about collaboration. And really, if people are having events as well, if you think sometimes when you have an event, it gets a bit boring, you just get me on stage for 15 minutes. Let me get the audience to go, woohoo, boom, boom.
Oh, dear. I can imagine that. I can see the benefit of it as well. Absolutely. So Jenny, if people want to get in touch with you, what's your preferred method of contact?
If you want to get in touch with me, you can go into my website, www.confidentqueen.wordpress.com or I love my Twitter at Confident Queen Jenny, Instagram as well, Confident Queen Jenny, and also on Facebook page, I've also got Confident Queen. I'm also on your website as well.
Absolutely.
On your page,
yep,
yes.
Yep. Yeah. So when I do the post promotion for this show, what I'll do as well is I'll put I'll put a link to your Facebook page on there as well so people can click through from my post to your page as well. And yeah, let's get out there and spread that happiness, spread that message. Because like you say, there's a bit too much doom and gloom in society at the minute. And, you know, it's a troubled place.
Yes.
And I think it all starts with your state of mind. And I think if you can be happy from within, it's incredibly powerful.
Yes.
I'm really, really glad you came on the show. You've really made my day.
thank you.
I'm really looking forward to listening back on this one and chuckling because it's been quite an experience. But thank you, Jenny. Thank you for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you for having me.
After the break, we are going to have a quick chat about vitamin B12, specifically a vitamin B12 deficiency.
I never really had got my angel now. It's like I've been awakened. Every rule I had you breaking. It's the risk that I'm taking. I ain't never gonna shut you out. Everywhere I'm looking now, I'm surrounded by your embrace. Baby, I can see your halo. You know you're my saving grace. You're everything I need and more. It's written on.
You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show. And listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. On iTunes, search the Health Matters Radio Show, and you can listen to the show's podcast. So we only have about 5 minutes left. I did want to cover the topic of vitamin B12 in detail. So I'll cover some basic parts of my content that I was going to cover, and then perhaps we'll look to go into more detail on next week's show. Now, vitamin B12 is a really interesting vitamin, okay? So when we, and we have covered vitamin B on a previous show quite recently, but vitamin B12 is one of eight B vitamins. And structurally, it's the most complex vitamin. It's also the largest vitamin as well. And the only organisms that produce vitamin B12 are certain types of bacteria, particularly bacteria found in soil, and single-celled organisms. So people think B12 comes from meat, but it comes from meat because the animals eat the plants and the vegetation that have the bacteria in them. And then what happens is those bacteria proliferate the gut flora of these herbivores. And then we obviously then, if you're a meat eater, we eat the meat and we take in the B12 that they produce. But they produce it because they eat it to start with. They don't produce it naturally. No animals produce B12. So when you're deficient in B12, you have this condition called vitamin B12 deficiency anemia. And that causes the body to produce abnormally large red blood cells that can't function properly. If they can't function properly, they don't carry oxygen around the body efficiently. And then that has a massive impact on our health. And the vitamin B12 deficiency affects our nervous system as well as affecting red blood cells. And also, vitamin B12 is a crucial element in making DNA. So it's a really important vitamin. And it's a vitamin that we get, as I say, from eating meat. But we get it because the animals have eaten it to actually start with. Now, vitamin B12 deficiency can lead to physical and psychological issues as well. So it's quite an important thing. If you're a vegetarian or you are a vegan, then vitamin B12 deficiency can be a big issue. Now, some of the symptoms that you might be able to pick up on if you are suffering from vitamin B12 deficiency are things like weakness and fatigue, perhaps a tingling in your hands and your feet, maybe a numbness, particularly in your limbs, blurred vision, fever, nausea, sweating, difficulty walking, perhaps muscle weakness. Maybe you get mouth ulcers on a regular basis or your tongue is enlarged or sore. Perhaps you feel faint or dizzy. Maybe you have mood swings. Maybe you suffer with irritability. Perhaps you've got a decline in memory or your judgment or your cognitive function is impaired. Maybe you've got a loss of appetite. Tinnitus is another symptom as well, as is a fast heart rate. Because the blood cells are not carrying oxygen around the body efficiently, your heart has to work harder to get the same amount of oxygen to different parts of the body. So if you're suffering with any of those symptoms, it doesn't mean for a moment that you have B12 deficiency. But if you can relate to some of them and you haven't been checked recently, it might be worth having a chat with your doctor and having a B12 test. Now, if you are a vegetarian, if you are a vegan, you are more susceptible to suffering with B12 deficiency. But equally, if you are a meat eater, because of the lack of nutrients in the soil that we grow our vegetation and our fruit in, and our veg in these days, then because the soil is deficient in the bacteria, then the meat that we eat is deficient in B12 as well. So if you are a meat eater, don't fool yourself that you are getting all the B12 that you need. You may actually still be deficient. Now, we've run out of time for this show, but what I'll do is I will cover this in more detail because it is a topic that's come up over the last week or so with me and some of my clients. And it is an important one because vitamin B12 deficiency is actually more common than people realise. So we will cover this on next week's show in more detail, and hopefully you'll find it useful. So today's been really excellent. We've had a fantastic interview with Jenny, and certainly one that I will remember for many, many years to come. And I'm looking forward to looking you up on YouTube. And we've covered eye health as well, and I've given you some tips about how you can protect your sight, you can maintain your eye health, and the reasons for having regular eye checks at least every couple of years. So all that remains for me to do now is to thank Jenny for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And as I say, what I do is when I do the post promotion on social media, I will put a link through to your Facebook page so people can click through and obviously make contact with you from there. But thank you for coming on the show, Jenny.
Thank you for having me.
If you'd like to come on the show, as Jenny has done today, and talk about what you do, if your business is within the health and well-being arena, you know, if you offer a service, then please do make contact with me, and it'll be great to have you on the show as a guest. And if you'd like to make contact with me away from the show and away from social media, please do so through my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So after the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. But until the same time next week, I bid you a happy and healthy week ahead, and I will catch you again the same time next Monday.
The heart is a blue. Someone you could lend a hand in return for grace.